your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
All right, welcome to a Thursday of Lacrosse Talk PM. Couple of things going on. I talked with Dan Trissoni, City of Lacrosse Parks and Rec Department. We talked about the Fish Labs building. I think Brad Williams was calling it the Fish Hatchery, and we're going to try to change that to the Fish Labs building. We talked like an hour ago, so again, I'm gonna play that interview here coming up in a little bit. I wanted to bring up one story that should be on the website. So Tommy Thompson, he's at one point the longest serving governor of Wisconsin, right? He's Republican. He's the head of the University of Wisconsin system. First off, not a whole lot of controversy there, right? I don't think. Have we heard a lot of people bickering about Tommy Thompson being the interim director of the UW system? Because he's a Republican. Should the Democrats be mad? Is there a lot of... Wouldn't Governor Evers... Shouldn't he be on Twitter every other day mad about this? But, you know, he's been in town a whole bunch of times. That seems like a... kind of a fun guy. He's, you know, very upbeat, very positive guy. I could see why. He's probably the longest serving governor of Wisconsin. I don't think I paid attention to politics back then. You know, I was pretty engulfed in sports probably when he was running. Anyway, he had to have surgery. He's 79 years old. He had surgery. This, you know, scary, right? He had the surgery. Why did he have to have surgery? Because he got in a water skiing accident over the weekend. And he said, he posted on Facebook, just a little post 9 hours ago. Just, you know, no big deal. On my way to surgery this morning, had a little water skiing accident over the weekend and have to have my bicep reattached to the tendon. What did he do, folks? What do you think he did? What did Tommy Thompson do? He's water skiing, probably not barefoot skiing, but he's water skiing, right? And he fell. He must have fell. And I used to be a water skier. I haven't water skied in a while. Kind of curious if I would. Well, first of all, my ankle doesn't work, so I don't know if I would definitely not be able to water ski right now. I wouldn't even try it. I'm guessing Tommy Thompson probably wasn't on one ski. He wasn't wakeboarding. He would have said wakeboarding, right? So what did he do? What did he do, you guys? Did he fall and then try to hold on to the rope too long? Or was it just straight up like 79-year-old water skiing and he's just holding himself? He's not a trim guy. He's, you know, I would say I haven't stood next to him, but just looking at pictures of him, you can see a picture of him at UWL thanks to UW Lacrosse letting us use that picture. But he's giving a thumbs. You can kind of see his belly sticking through that jacket. He's not slim. He's not slim. So, you know, he's 79 years old. He's pulling himself on this wall. He definitely just, if he didn't fall, it was just like your bicep's 79 years old and you're trying to pull yourself up on a wall. So either he did this getting himself up or just basic water skiing. I kind of wonder where he was. Tommy, we need more details in this. We got to do some investigative journalism. Get more details. Where was he water skiing? How many horsepower was the boat? Did he fall? Was it just getting pulled up? Was he just, you know, getting pulled around a lake, a river? Was the water choppy? I got to know all the details. Hopefully, Tommy will give us an update. You know, hopefully, the surgery goes well so he can get back on the water skis, because I don't think he has much time left to water ski. I remember back in the day, there was, he used to do barefoot skiing, and he was like an 80 some year old guy, and if you looked at him, he did not look like Tommy Thompson. Though this guy was ripped, and not saying Tommy Thompson isn't ripped, he very well could be, but he's a bigger guy. He's got a bigger build on him. He's got a little bit of a stomach, no offense. I mean, pandemic, we all might have a little bit of a stomach myself. But yeah, I just saw that and I was like, water skiing, what is going on? Also, UW system president has time for water skiing. What? Shouldn't have any free time for anything fun. Unbelievable. I would be doing such a thing. Can't believe that he thinks he would have enough time for water skiing. Whew. Anyway, super funny, I think. Not funny in the fact that he needs to have surgery. I'm making light of this because bicep surgery, and for all intents and purposes, I believe he's going to be fine. He probably won't be water skiing maybe ever again. We'll see. But, I mean, we could get into what kind of healthcare plan does the UW system president have? And can we all get on that healthcare plan? We could do that one. I always want to do that show, like just get one of these politicians on to just break down their healthcare plan, because we talk about what their salaries are, whether it's, you know, state politician, Congress, senator. We talk about what their salaries are, but we never include their benefits, which blow up their salaries. And their healthcare plan benefits, I'm sure, you know, are through the roof. Something that, you know, most of us are just paying straight to the deductible. Hey, I can't wait to use this healthcare deduct plan once I get to my $5,000 deductible. It'll be super fun. I won't have to worry about paying. Oh, never mind. I'm never going to get to the $5,000 because I'm not going to go to the doctor because I can't afford it. All right, little tangent there. Dan Trisani from the La Crosse Parks and Rec Department coming up, talking about that Fish Labs building, north side of La Crosse, right? North side of Riverside Park, not north side of La Crosse. We've gone through two public comment sessions, public inquiries, essentially just like Parks and Rec, the TV show. I feel like one of those was just like that, where you just have people bellering out their opinion on stuff. And what is there, Lisa? I can't remember her name on Parks and Rec, but anyway. I had some fun with Dan talking about that coming up. Brad doing the news first. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. On the air with me now, La Crosse Parks and Rec. Let's see, Dan, what are you? Parks, Forestry, and Building Grounds Manager, Dan Trisani. Did I get that right? I'm looking right at the website. So
You're right on.
You got the website right. I just wanted to get an update, and I haven't talked to anyone on my show except to myself and some callers about what we call the Fish Hatchery building. I think Brad Williams started that. So first and foremost, is the Fish Hatchery, is that maybe not the right name for this building in Riverside Park?
Well, actually, it was brought to our attention at the public input meeting on Monday evening that it was actually a fish lab facility and not necessarily a fish hatchery. So that's actually one of the recommendations that we got from a public input, one of the public input sessions, that's going to go back for reconsideration and a possible name.
Okay, you might just, if you want to call Brad, I'll give you his number later. You can call and complain. He might have started this whole thing. But let's start at like ground zero here with the Fish Labs building. Let's do that. What is going on there, and what is maybe the plan besides, we're taking public input, but what is kind of the grand scheme of things there in the building on the north side of Riverside?
Sure. So right now, the city in the 2021 capital improvement budget budgeted $500,000 towards improvements to that building. The building, you know, it just had some maintenance concerns, some major maintenance concerns that really weren't addressed for the last 20 years. So the city has, you know, it put a priority on bringing this building back because of its historical significance and its location. And so the $500,000 project going on in 2021 is upgrading the exterior look to what the building kind of looked like back in the 1920s. It's not identical, but it's moving back towards that. There's some demo being done on the inside and just kind of whitewalling the inside for any potential tenant that may come in to do a build-out. Along with that, we also have windows being upgraded, a new kind of a cool look design that's really going to make the building pop once the windows are installed later this year. And then as well, we're doing the approach on the main entrance, the south side of the building, to make it ADA compliant as well.
Now, are you saying like Explore La Crosse probably had a bunch of keggers in there, destroyed the building before they moved out, and you took their $200 security deposit?
No, I'm not saying that. They were excellent tenants in that facility. It was just, you know, a historic building like that, it just costs a lot to maintain, a lot to upgrade, and a lot to operate. So the costs pile up, and, you know, it's difficult to put tax dollars towards facility upgrades all the time, too. So that's kind of the situation we have there.
I feel like like 4 years ago we had bats living in there, a really bad bat problem. Were you around then when we had that going on?
I certainly was, and that problem isn't necessarily gone at this point either. So the bats are still sometimes visible inside the facility, but that's part of the upgrades going on right now to address that concern.
Well, that'll be totally fine through October, I think. We'll be good with the bats. It'll be very seasonal.
There you go.
All right, so we've had two public input sessions, and the first one was pretty contentious. I didn't get the chance to hear the second one, but the first one, I believe 25 people commented. Now, can you explain how the comment process works? Do we know who these people are, where they're from? Because if I brought a bunch of people from Toma over to call out this building, I mean, do we really take their comments into that big of a consideration versus, you know, people living in the city or people living close in, you know, more closer proximity to the area?
Well, obviously, residents are going to carry a stronger voice in a public input session. But the second session, we had structured a little bit differently, where the speaker would have to come up to the podium, state their name and city that they're from. So that kind of helped clear up any misconceptions there. But yeah, that's all. It was just there was kind of two different structures.
Now, there was 25 people that commented at the first meeting, and they just sort of stood up in the crowd, or they just screamed from their chair. How did it work, Dan?
No, it wasn't that bad. We still had called on people to speak one at a time. It was just there's a lot of emotion that's going into this, and people want to hear their voice heard, or want to get their opinions out there. So that's not necessarily uncommon for a public input session when you get kind of a contentious topic.
Well, we've all seen the show Parks and Rec, Dan, so we know how it works.
Eerily similar sometimes.
And then how many, do you know off the top of your head? I guess I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but how many people commented last Monday?
It was probably similar to the first meeting. We didn't, I don't have a tally in front of me, but it was similar to the first meeting. Quite a few people at the second meeting, spoke in favor of what was going on or what's been, what's planned down there as well. So, but overall, great comments, good input, and, we're considering everything that's been thrown our way, whether it be for or against the future plans.
We're speaking with Dan Trisani in the Parks and Rec Department. Dan, 50 comments over two meetings, that seems like pretty good, because sometimes we'll get one comment. I think one of the county board meetings the other day got one comment. So
I did hear that. But yeah, 50 comments is great. That's the whole point. And when the council, referred the rezoning application for 60 days, the direction to our department was to host these public input meetings for further public comments. And I think we got exactly what we were looking for.
Now, is there a plan it wouldn't be set in stone, but a plan for the Fish Labs building, and we're commenting on that plan? Or is the comment session more in the plan, more what should we do with the building? I feel like there's a group and they kind of have a plan, right?
Well, it's both. People have offered recommendations as to what they would like to see in the facility, and the group that presented us with a proposal, they're taking those comments serious, and they want to do they want to put something in that facility that's going to get people down there and make an add an amenity to the park, which would also boost their business. So, again, taking everything we've heard, kind of throwing it in the hopper, if you will, and trying to make the best of the situation.
Do you have any, does the Parks and Rec Department have any favorable, we really do like this plan or that plan?
Well, yes, we do. And this is the RFP that we selected based on the proposal that they gave. We thought, it would be an amenity to the park. That was the number one goal, to add something that all residents can utilize. And then on top of that, any lease agreement that brings revenue to the city from a potential tenant, that money goes right back into Riverside Park, including that facility, the International Gardens, the bandstand, bathrooms. All of that is every penny that we were to make off the lease would go right back into the park. And we feel that's extremely important and a point we want to get across, so we don't, we can have some of this deferred maintenance, or we can make these building fixes ahead of time and not have to do it all at once with a $500,000, capital improvement, 20 years down the road.
The group that wants to get into that building, are they matching funds? So you put in $500,000 and they're going to put in $500,000 to make their own improvements?
Well, it's not necessarily required matching, but part of their proposal on the build-out was to add $800,000 to just the Fish Lab building, and then another $200,000 towards the garage that is adjacent to the Fish Lab building. So they're proposing $1 million to the area itself for improvements on their end, which that's difficult to find from a private sector to come in and give that kind of capital improvement to a building that they don't own.
Is it set in stone that they would take over, or could some other group come in and go, hey, we're willing to do this?
Sure. No, lease negotiations are taking place right now, but nothing is set in stone at this point, no. We did accept their RFP, their proposal, excuse me, and that's, we went through the process. It was done fairly. They submitted a proposal, prior to the deadline given. They had the opportunity that everyone else did, too, so... it was fair to them to accept their proposal. I think removing, this group from, the potential of moving in is probably unfair at this point to open it back up. But that's some of the suggestions we have heard as well, though.
I'm just, and maybe this happened, but you know, we're building, or it sounds like we might build a bigger dock for the big boats out there. And I heard a rumor that just one of the big boat companies wanted to build their own dock. Is it possible that one of the big boat companies could go, hey, we want to lease that building too? It could encapsulate the whole, you know, the whole big boats coming to La Crosse, and we get to use that building as well. Have they proposed anything, or have you reached out to any of those groups?
Well, at one point, that idea was kicked around by one of the companies. I won't name which one, but those talks kind of fizzled out, and nothing really came of that.
Okay.
And no proposal was submitted either.
Okay, and you know, before this happened over the weekend, I thought maybe, was there any talk about maybe moving Hatch Baby into the old Hiawatha spot?
No, there were no talks of that. No talks.
All right. Hey, Dan, am I missing anything with what's going on at the Fish Labs building? You see how we slyly have named it the Fish Labs building now? You see how that worked, Dan?
Excellent move. That's, again, all from the public input, so that's the whole purpose, right?
Are we going to demolish this building, and then right before we demolish it, the Historical Society or some historical group will come in and go, hey, whoa, no, we can't touch this building anymore. It's a historical building.
Well, that's just right. And the last thing we want to do is demolish this building. We don't want this building to sit vacant. But if this building were to be demolished, you could never build there again because of its location in the floodway as well. So it's kind of grandfathered in on that side of things.
Okay, that makes sense. Brad Williams, too, he said a long time ago, I don't even know if you know this, there used to be a hot dog vendor in there. And then the city, like other vendors, were mad because the hot dog vendor had this like exclusive rights to the north side. Any hot dog vendors trying to get in there, Dan?
No hot dog vendors, but you know that again. This proposal it kind of opens the door for a lot of different businesses to potentially come into the building. I don't think they're closing the door on anything. I don't know if that means hot dogs coming or not, but I have heard that. I have heard that story is before my time, but you know that Riverside Park, the jewel that it is. It's a lot of people have opinions on what goes there and what comes next.
Do we have any kind of timeline? The renovations will be done this time. Are we going to have any more public input sessions coming up? And then what's, you know, maybe we'll be done with this by when?
Well, the referral, the 60-day referral on the rezoning comes back to the meeting cycle here, the city meeting cycle in October, the first week in October. It has to go back to the Planning Commission, J&A Committee, and then the Common Council in early October. As far as construction goes on the city side of the project, the timeline right now is looking somewhere around that December, mid-December date for the windows to show up, and as soon as they show up, that'll kind of be the last piece to this phase one, if you will, of the construction piece.
Okay. And then, okay, so we're going to wait for the city council to kind of decide in next week's like cycle of meetings to see what's next.
Yeah, that kind of is contingent on lease negotiations and everything else. So we have to find out what's going to come of this the rezoning application and go from there. So if it happens to be approved, the next step would then be taking a lease forward through the same type of cycle. Having input sessions. Taking it through our park board, back through the common council cycle as well.
All right. Dan, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. There's a lot of information to get out there on this. So, yeah, I think we covered quite a bit.
We're not going to put a Shopko in there or anything, are we?
No, that's not the intent right now.
All right. That's Dan Trisani. He's the Parks, Forestry, Buildings, and Grounds Manager. Dan, how long have you been doing that at La Crosse?
6 years full-time now.
6 years? All right. I appreciate you coming on. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Another quick break. We'll be back after this. Oh, get the chair straight here. Welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. There's two little sportsy things going on that just came up. So we do bus trips on Sunday. These two tickets just opened up. Cubs Brewers on Sunday. We got two spots open. So if you want to go to the Cubs Brewers game, it's I think 1:10 PM game. So right there, afternoon game, Sunday afternoon, $80. Get a bus trip out there. You get a tailgate party for Premier Catering. So how many brats could you? Brats, hot dogs, chips, Pepsi product, and water. You can bring alcoholic beverages, but they're not provided. So it's just so you know. But how many brats can you down before a Brewer Cubs game? I can down a lot of brats. I think four is, like, after four, I'm not going to feel very good. At four is going to make me feel pretty bad, actually. Three, I think I could still function. But if I want to go into a baseball game and sit in the hot sun, I might cut it off at two. So Radio Stuff Store, $80. Check that out. Sunday, the bus is going to leave Valley View Mall at 7:30 a.m. Gives you plenty of time to tailgate. There's also another bus that leaves in Oakdale at the Road Ranger in Oakdale. So that they'll leave there at 8:20 a.m. So check that out. Two tickets just opened up. So we had two people drop. That's going to be a Cubs Brewers. Doesn't get better than that. And if you don't want to do that, I feel like if you do one, you don't want to do the other, but you could do both on Monday Night Football, Packers Lambeau Field home opener, Monday Night Football, $270, bus trip out there, game tickets in the lower end zone, tailgate party complete with free food, beer, and soda before the game. So all the everything you want before a Packer game. And it's Monday Night Football, remember. So, you know, just so you know, it leaves the Valley View parking lot at 1 p.m. And then there's another pickup location in Toma at the Humbird Cheese Mart. So if you're out, you know, out there, you could jump on the bus at 1:45 p.m. for this Monday Night Football game. That is also at RadioStuffStore.com. You just have to scroll down, look for the Packer lacrosse to Lambeau, Packers versus Lions. That's Monday Night Football, $270. Tailgate party. This is where you get your money's worth. The bus trip out there, the game tickets, and free food, beer, pop before the game. So check it out. Both of those are at Radio Stuff Store. Sunday noon Brewers game, Monday Night Football game. Thanks to Dan Trisani for talking about the Fish Labs building. Bubba from Bubba Meats texted in and he said he's got ground pork. I don't know why he said that. Oh, that was this morning. I thought he was making a joke because we're talking about the Fish Labs building. I'll have to text him back because I texted him back. Do you have any bluegill fillets? Thought he was making a joke. That was a this morning text. It was a little late there, Bubba. It was a 10:40 text. Hayes is on till 9. So you're an hour and 45 minutes late. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. What you know, like we're a lot of interest in this Fish Labs building. It's right there. It's kind of a unique spot and then a unique place for people to complain because it's in a park. That's why I've talked about it. It's just kind of interesting. And it's right next door. So I kind of like the building. It's cool. It looks, sounds like number three was on top of this, you know, with the about $500,000 in renovations before another group moves in and puts another $1 million in renovations in there. I think he said $1 million. Did he not? At least $500,000 they're going to put in. Eric from Sparta looks like he's calling. Eric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. This is not confrontational. This COVID money coming across, American Rescue Plan money, why don't the city of La Crosse, La Crosse County, provide 5 masks a month, N95 masks, to stop this Delta variant coming around here instead of putting their hands together, drooling all of this money, how they can spend it. Why don't they spend it for what it's meant for, to protect the people of the country? Why don't they get N95 masks, five each citizen of La Crosse in La Crosse County?
Why not your county?
I would welcome that also. Okay. I can't talk to them every time they call them. I get a busy signal. So anyway, I'm just saying that.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's not a new idea. I think during the pandemic overseas, I couldn't tell you. That's why I just say overseas because I'm not sure where. But you could use your ID to go to a vending machine. And I don't remember if it was once a week, it would pop out two masks for you. And they weren't disposable masks. They were, you know, probably you can use an N95 mask more than once. I think. Honestly, I'm just using the disposable mask and the mask my mom maybe. But yeah, you just swiped your ID card. And it popped out two masks for you, and there you go. I mean, we could do that now. We could throw some vending machines out there, or you just go to La Crosse County Health Department and you know, show them, just say you want a couple masks. I mean, it's not a new idea. It's not the worst idea ever. Eric lives in Sparta, so there's, I mean, he's always, I mean, it's a La Crosse. We're in La Crosse here, but I'm trying to find it as I'm talking here, but I used to have all these links up, the American Rescue Plan money by county, because the city of La Crosse is getting $21 million and the county is getting $22 million. I could be off $100,000 here or there. What's $100,000, right? but I'm trying to find the links to see what the other counties in the area are getting. But I don't see it on my list here. Googling and trying to talk is not always the greatest thing to do. But I did write about this just not that long ago, but I can't find it. It's frustrating. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. A couple other things, too. So I'm talking about the Brewers and the Packers and our bus trips out there, but the Bucks also making news today. And, you know, Bucks, NBA champs, so if you remember at the end of the season, I mean, what a way to go out, too. The play-by-play guy has retired now. I can't find his name now. God, I just had his name. Who's the play-by-play guy for the Bucks? Jim Paschke. 35 seasons. I forgot his name. He retired at the end of the year, and the Bucks hired a woman, Lisa Binghamton. She's going to be the new play-by-play announcer for television broadcasts for the Bucks. So first time. She was an NCAA men's basketball tournament announcer. She was the first female play-by-play broadcaster for the NCAA men's tournament. Seems like a little bit late to the game. I can't believe we haven't had a woman calling play-by-play. It's play-by-play. Like, if you want to pretend that women can't analyze basketball, I guess you could do that. It's silly, but we haven't had a NCAA tournament women's play-by-play announcer. It's unbelievable. But she was the first female play-by-play broadcaster for the NCAA men's basketball tournament earlier this year, and now she's going to be the Bucks play-by-play broadcaster. That's awesome. So I would say you should listen to WKTY's radio broadcasts of the game. I should say that, right? But she's going to be on TV. That's pretty cool. You can read that story at WKTYsports.com. So wanted to get that out there. There's also one more story that Christian Yelich bought 10,000 tickets, and he's giving away tickets. So if you just go to the Milwaukee Brewers Facebook page, you could find that news that Yelich got 10,000 tickets and he's doing this big giveaway. Pretty cool. He's not hitting very well, but at least he's doing the ticket giveaway. Those are for Monday's game, Tuesday's game, Wednesday's game, and Thursday's game. So go find that post. Actually, I'll share it to the WKTY page, too. I'm going to do that right now as I'm talking. And I did a couple of interviews today, and I talked with the La Crosse County Health Department about COVID, mostly. But the interesting part about having my conversation with Paul Asilla with the County Health Department was that that's kind of all they can do at this point, because COVID is still wreaking havoc on our county. And so 2 months ago, we had 19 cases in a week. And last week, we had 355 cases in a week, which is pretty bad average. And this week, it's a little bit better, 238 cases in a week's time. But it's still, that's 34 cases a day. Man, when we got hit with 20 cases of COVID, it was right around the time UWL students came back. It was a big deal. And now we're just averaging 34 a day. And last week it was worse. It was like 51, I think. But yeah, we're just averaging 34 cases of COVID a day. We had two deaths in the last week. So, you know, I was like, Paula, what can we talk about? And I'll play this interview, I think, next week. But what can we talk about with COVID and where we're at? And what else can we talk about? Because we always talk about COVID, right? Like, what else? She's like, she gave me a couple of things, but they weren't all that hard hitting, but there were a couple of them. But she's like, really, the health department is swamped with having to deal with COVID and contact tracing and everything that comes with it, because we're still in this. We're still right in the middle. We're not any better off in terms of cases and how to deal with it. If we're better off a little bit with vaccinations, and that I think we're a little over half the population. And then there's some metrics there, because it's like 12 and under aren't able to get vaccinated yet and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of, you know, finagling with the numbers that what percentage we're actually at, with what percentage can actually get vaccinated and what percentage was able to get vaccinated. So if you're over, 18, you could get vaccinated the whole time. So there's that percentage is at 67.7% in the county. They've completed the vaccine series. But when you do the overall population, we're only at 58.5%. So there's this 12 to 17 group that just was just began to be able to be vaccinated, so we don't really factor that in at this point. And then everybody under 12, right? Then they can't get vaccinated at all, which makes, you know, masking in schools and all that that much more important. So, but overall, the county is at 58.5%. So we're just kind of creeping up. And that $100, so if you haven't been vaccinated, you're just going to get $100 from the state. But you have to do it by Sunday, the 19th. Is that Sunday or Monday? By Sunday. So I think you can just go to vaccines.org. It's really easy. Type the zip code, your zip code, and there's going to be like 10 places that you can go get vaccinated. It's as easy as like going to Walgreens and doing it. And just walk in and... I mean, not everywhere is going to walk in. You probably just want to make a phone call or something, but it's so easy. But talking with Paula at the La Crosse County Health Department, she's been doing this for 30 years, and she's like, yeah, it's been, you know, she said she's had some food outbreaks that have been bad. They lasted a couple of weeks, but this thing is going on for 2 years, and it's just, you know, it's taxing on everybody. But it's, you know, think about the people in the hospitals and the people that are working with the health departments and how much they have to deal with this every day, and probably a little contentious at times, right? There's probably some people that call and, you know, you'll call me and give me grief about it, and that's fine. I appreciate it. Appreciate having a conversation about where people are at. I know I've had other people call and say, hey, I've looked into, you know, what the vaccine is, like what the numbers are with vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And we've gone far long enough now, and we've studied the vaccine's effects long enough now that it's safe. So that person said, I went shopping, I think he said he went to the Legion, American Legion here in La Crosse, and decided he wanted, I don't remember if it was Johnson & Johnson because you just get one, or the Pfizer because you get two, or Moderna, whatever. And then he and his family went and got vaccinated just like that. They kind of figured it out. So, and we brought Chris Main, a doctor at Viterbo, studies disease. He's a biology professor. He studies, contagious diseases there, but, it's kind of his expertise. I forget the term now because there's too many of these ologies. But he's come out on the show quite a few times and just talked about like the vaccine has been vetted now for long enough. Like if we were going to see some major side effects in the vaccine, and it's been tested more than any vaccine in the history of forever, those long-term side effects would have happened already. When it comes to vaccines, I think it's like 2 months is the long-term. Anyway, I'll play that conversation, I think, next week sometime. And I'm trying to get some other people from Mayo on. Rug from Trempolo says, I want my $100. I got vaccinated in March. I am kind of with you. If we were Native Americans, I don't remember which tribe, if it had to be a tribe, but there were certain Native groups that were given $600, Rug, for getting vaccinated, and they were doing anyone that got vaccinated. So if you got vaccinated back in March, you're good to go. You get $600 now, even if you got vaccinated back in the day. But this is for people that aren't vaccinated at all. It's an incentive. Rug, I would say you're not going to get the $100, but you also didn't have to pay $17,000, which is about the average hospital stay cost for getting COVID. You didn't have to pay $17,000 to your insurance plan. Maybe your insurance covers some of that, but I'm sure your deductible is great, right? Like your deductible is like $3, right? You didn't have to do that. So you saved $16,900. So I know you didn't get your $100, but you saved like $16,000 or whatever your deductible is, minus $100. So let's do it that way, right? All right, I got to take one more break. We'll be back. All right, Busta, I got you. Bubba, not Bubba, Ruck from Trempolo, he says his immune system is strong from working in the wastewater, I don't know how I want to put this, Bubba, because you missed the word here. In the wastewater treatment plant, do you work like right in the water? But essentially working in that field, and I will just say, I text him back, but I will just say, I don't know if it works like that. I listen to a podcast often, and the guy, the host there jokes. he jokes about how his immune system is impeccable. I don't know if impeccable, real strong, I would say, because he'll eat crap off the ground, and he'll eat other people's food after they've bitten it. Sounds like a gross guy, right? But he'll just do stuff like that. They're like the opposite of what we're kind of telling people to do right now. But this was, he would talk about this before there was a COVID pandemic. But the idea that he's essentially exposing himself to minute diseases in a way that, and I don't know if it works like that. I don't think it works like that. You take a bite of your kid's popsicle. I mean, first of all, you're a jerk if you do that. But you do that as a parent, right? And then you're just exposing yourself to, right? You're just giving yourself a little bit of a vaccine, right? Essentially, it's like a miniature, it's like a home version vaccine. You just expose yourself a little bit. No, it doesn't work like that. Rug, I've talked it out. I don't think it works like that. And he also says, because you can get the vaccine here in Wisconsin, get $100. He makes a joke that a certain caller that calls every day, regardless of whether or not I put him on, would spend that $100 on all on masks, just straight up buy all the masks with the $100 that you get from the government for getting vaccinated here in Wisconsin. That ends Sunday, by the way. One more time, ends Sunday. La Crosse County Board meeting coming up here in a couple of minutes. I looked at the agenda, and I'll say this once again, the agenda is full of hieroglyphics that I don't understand. There is something about 12,790,000. I'll just read it. Ready? I don't know what this means. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just try to read the like top lines here. I got to find the right one though. All right. Resolution directing the advertisement and sale of approximately $12.79 million aggregate principal amount of general obligation promissory notes. Sorry, I've never read that word before out loud. Of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, for the purpose of financing highway improvements and refunding certain outstanding obligations of the county. So whatever it is, it's $12.8 million. So whatever all that means, even the word that I couldn't, promissory. Anyone know what that means? I'm just not following. But whatever, $12.8 million sounds like fix the roads. Is that what it's doing? It sounds like maybe we're paying out debts, doing something. Where'd we get that money? Whose money is that? Well, if you want to find out, the county board meeting's starting up pretty quick here. Just search La Crosse County and then go to meetings and minutes and agenda and then click on the agenda for today. You have to click down the day, the year, the date. So the year, the month, then today. It opens a PDF, and then in that PDF is a big blue join the meeting. And you can join the meeting just like that. Super easy. Right? Super easy, he says. All right. That's all the time I have for today. Tomorrow, UW La Crosse professor, political science professor, Dr. Anthony Chergosky. He should be on with us. I'm going to try to play a clip from Joe Gow. I tried to get Joe Gow to talk crap about Chergosky. He didn't. But we'll be back. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.